Hello, one and all, and welcome back to another episode. Indeed, a new week, a new fantastic Monday at the Damage Report with me, Johnny Arola. And hey, okay, I'll get to her. Here's Francesca. How's it going, Francesca?
Hello. It's good. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
What pandemic?
Zoom out. Her apartment is on fire. Well, no, it's actually cool. So what you need to do is, because you know we talk about the pandemic and everything, you just need to go to a place where the pandemic doesn't exist. Like I went to Catalina, where there isn't a pandemic, I gather, based on what I've seen. But anyway, we're glad to have you here. I know that you've been very busy. The weekends are perversely your busiest time, but you're gonna be even busier in the near future. You've got some events coming up, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm always, you know, being hounded by the Dragon Squad for upcoming comedy dates. And if you do live in the Los Angeles area, I have a date on Thursday, July 29th, a show that I am hosting with my betrothed Matt Lieb, also a comic, super funny. And we're hosting a great show, a lot of comics who you've heard on the Bituation Room podcast if you have listened to me. But that's gonna be 9 o'clock in Los Feliz at Nosa Restaurant. It's called The Happies. Okay. Tickets are in my bio and Instagram, y'all. So please come through. It's an outdoor show. It is COVID safe.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm seeing in the chat hashtag we are friends dark money.
Hell
so let's
yeah.
get that going. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes. And obviously there's a new episode of the Betrothed Room available wherever podcasts are that you can listen to. And I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna keep it. I'm feeling like one of those Mondays where I'm like, I know I've forgotten something crucial. I don't know what it is. It's like the leaving the burner on your oven version of hosting a show. Like there's something missing here. We're gonna find out together what it is. But thank you for being here. Oh, also today is a Monday, which is fantastic. That's true. It's also our Monday subs days. And I can see that Skittlebutt Dragon Rasp just gifted 5 tier 1 subs over on Twitch. So that's a thing you can take part in. But also we have our top 10 lists. And so we decided to do one. We want to give you hope and inspiration, a boost to morale. So we are gonna be doing an updated version. 6 months ago, we did our predictions for 2021. Now we're gonna do, oh dear God, what do we think maybe will happen? Like, is there any hope for anything? So we're gonna give you our thing like that. That's the tone and the way of speaking that we're gonna use. So anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already. And as we go through this 90 minutes of news, if you wanna send us comments, tweets, super chats, all that, we'll respond as we go. But that said, Francesca, are you ready to launch into some news?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it then. The investigation into the Capitol attack on January 6th just became a little bit more bipartisan, sort of, but not in a way that's going to satisfy any Republicans. With Nancy Pelosi announcing yesterday that she has appointed GOP Representative Adam Kinzinger to the commission. She said, I am announcing the appointment. He's a former Air Force veteran, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air National Guard, to serve on the select committee. He brings great patriotism to the committee's mission to find the facts and protect our democracy. He's a 6-term congressman from Illinois who's drawn censure from his own party for disavowing Mr. Trump and the conspiracy theories the former president perpetuated. He said that he had accepted the post, saying, while this is not the position I expected to be in or sought out, when duty calls, I will always answer. This moment requires a serious, clear-eyed, nonpartisan approach. We are duty bound to conduct a full investigation of the worst attack on the Capitol since 1814 and to make sure it can never happen again. So with Liz Cheney, this is now 2 Republicans. I don't know if it's gonna go any farther than that, but what do you think, Francesca?
I mean, I think it's better than Jim Jordan for sure. I don't know still what is going to come of it. And I really hope that if Nancy Pelosi is truly serious about pursuing you know, just accountability for what happened on January 6th, that there are some strong recommendations that might even include, you know, and I hope sitting some of these congresspeople down who absolutely egged on, helped plan and spoke at the Stop the Steal rally, sitting them down and asking them what they know and when they knew it. And I think there are some people who are serious about that. I just hope this is not for show. That being said, I think Adam Kinzinger is a way better choice, even though, you know, we got Liz Cheney in there, but he's someone who's at least showing a little bit of the what the future of a potentially less awful Republican Party could be. Again, I've said this before, I've never been the person who's like, you know, oh, Republicans, we just have to like whisper to their better angels and we can come together. But like, I feel like after January 26th, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'll take the non-coup mongers. Let's have those guys.
Yeah, there's no better angels. There's no angels. There's no angels. Trash. There's like four that are good, and that's really about it. So I want to catch you up on the real-time experience that I had over the weekend as I saw this announced. It was like, okay, Pelosi wants to put Kinzinger on. And all the headlines are like, that makes two Republicans. And then I thought, well, kind of, but they're not really Republicans, right? And then I thought, wait, isn't that the problem? That like, they're not really Republicans anymore because they didn't agree with the big lie. Like, that was all it took for, like, he's a real Republican. Liz Cheney is a Cheney. Yeah. Like, Cheney is as far as you can go. They're not even human anymore. They're cybernetic life forms. But they didn't approve of the big lie, so I don't know what they are anymore. Like, you said maybe, you know, it's a look forward to some future Republican Party. I like the idea of that because that implies that the current version will go away, which that would be great. But is there that hope? I mean, will these two being on the committee inspire moderate Republicans? Like, what are we hoping for to come out
of the fact that
they're on it?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to walk us back from the edge of like hell. I really do. And again, I have not been that person historically. I'm like, you reap what you sow. This has always been the Republican Party. Now it's mask off or mask on, as I always say, or hood on. And I think I've changed my stance on that because I do think that some kind of conservative party needs to emerge that doesn't just believe in overturning elections. Elections being completely 150% stolen, low key, Q, anti-vax, like what, add whatever that we need to not have a crazy cult. That is going to behoove democracy. So hell yeah, I want to see some leadership out of a non-nut job side of the Republican Party. I really do. And I think Republicans want that too. I think some voting Republicans want that too. Do we agree on abortion rights? No. Do we agree on even the separation between church and state? No. Do we agree like Cheney, who probably wants to continue to quote unquote spread democracy around the world and invade other countries, including Iran? No. But like, I also don't want, you know, to coup our own nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, isn't it weird how like we're all constantly trying to figure out and reevaluate what the bounds of our let's work together should incorporate. And like, look, I'm gonna keep it real. I have no interest in any of these people. I guess I don't think of myself as generally an absolutist, but I don't trust any of these people. But like, you have some people who'd be like, okay, Liz Cheney and Kinzinger don't approve of the big lie and they were willing to vote to impeach the president. So that makes them more reasonable. So maybe we can work with them. Other people say, how dare you? No, we should be working with like the Proud Boys and Tucker Carlson. And I just feel like I don't trust any of these people. I don't know why none of them. I don't trust most of the people in elected office who might work with them on the Democratic side, let alone them. But that does leave us in a dark spot.
Okay, well, let's separate out those things. You can't just say like, yeah, the people who are obviously calling for like, yeah, we just need a left wing and a right wing populism. And yeah, sure, you know, they don't believe the Black Lives Matter, but that's fine. And like, yeah, like, no, it's not fine. No one's gonna work with the Proud Boys. But I don't know if, I don't think Adam Kinzinger is like whispering to the Proud Boys, right?
No, he's not. These are different groups, obviously. I imagine at least.
No, exactly. I guess I'm just like, here's my thing. If we keep on inflating and gassing the farthest, most fringe sectors of the Republican Party, even though they're on Fox News, even though they're in power, then like we kind of were gonna get everything. It's gonna be a self-fulfilling prophecy. I feel like Trump was an entire self-fulfilling media prophecy.
Yeah, and I think, well, look, I agree. I wish, hey, here's a wish nobody's ever had. I wish that once Trump had lost, that was it. Like, I wish he'd gone away, but he's not going to. He's gonna run again. He's supporting candidates and everything. Because, like, the Republicans are acting as if they really believe their nonsense about Biden being a commie who's like just every day. He just goes to AOC and she puts her high heel on the back of his neck and he says, "Mistress, what can I give?" Like, they say that stuff. It's not true. He's not doing anything really, but they're acting as if they're facing the apocalypse. And so there's no holds barred. We will do literally anything to get power back so that they can then once again just pass tax cuts and then do nothing too.
Right.
Nobody does anything, but they're all acting as if the other side is gonna do everything, but they're not. And the thing is, like, everything's at such a boiling point, such a fever pitch, that one might think, okay, well, look, the fact that Biden is gonna come in and for 4 years nothing is gonna happen, apparently, that's a disaster because of all the actual problems we have. But maybe a silver lining will be that it'll be a reminder to the other side that, like, maybe you don't have to overthrow democracy. Maybe you could chill a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're not chilling. They're as crazy as they were before. Like, they're still just as crazy with the critical race theory. And is there a transgender person behind me? Like, they're freaking out constantly.
Yeah.
And it's Biden and he's not doing anything.
No, and that's why I think the bigger message to Democrats, I mean, what we can do and what I wish Nancy Pelosi does do is support actual Democratic primary challengers who have actual oomph, who have actual progressive, not just progressive, have morals, have values. The only thing that is gonna prevent a far right neo-fascist takeover in earnest is if we fight from the other side with real solutions like healthcare, like an end to climate change, right? Like home care and better education and tuition-free college. These are the ideas that are gonna motivate people, unions, right? Like promoting, so all the things that are currently being held up by status quo Democrats, like, you know, Sinema and Manchin, and even, you know, and even folks like Nancy Pelosi, because they consistently put money behind the safe, supposedly the safe bet. When, like, these sort of loudmouth, grab the headlines, like, you know, right wing nut jobs again, like, they're coming out in front, because who wants to cover the status quo BS of someone just sort of glad handing and telling you, you know, that everything is fine? It's not fine. The right wing reaction to the current state of the country is a sign that things aren't fine. Democrats need to wake up and actually, you know, fight.
Yeah, I agree. But let's turn to a slightly different angle on this. We're waiting to find out starting this week what this Capitol Commission can find out. I know that going into it, we started the week with the head of the Capitol Police saying, "Of course I'm worried that this could happen again," which seems newsworthy. But anyway, worried about that. And I think that that makes some sense. Not necessarily that an event like that is going to happen again. And certainly I don't want them to fearmonger without evidence about a specific event happening that allows them to once again jack up security needlessly and spend billions of dollars. I'm not interested in that. That said, it is clear that there is still a lot of anger out there. There is still a lot of incredibly high profile support for continued political violence. I want to show you an example of this. So one of the guys, there's a lot of people out there on the right that I have no idea how they have even two people who will listen to them speak, but they do, and they're popular. One of those is Michael Flynn. So the former national security advisor to Donald Trump, pardoned of his crimes. Here he is at the Church of Glad Tidings in Yuba, California. Bear in mind, this is a church, as you listen to what he has to say in response to getting the gift of an assault rifle.
That's awesome.
And tell us about your gift.
So we were trying to come up with a rifle that we thought was appropriate for a general. So we went with a old school woodland camouflage. So anyhow, this is one of our top quality guns. And
maybe I'll find somebody in Washington, D.C.
This one's Florida compliant.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so you didn't see Francesca's face as we were playing that, but it was the same as mine was earlier today. I think I get the joke.
What?
I think the joke is that he's going to use that new rifle to murder someone in D.C. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? You're the comedian. You tell me.
Oh, that's real funny. That would really crush at the Comedy Store, dude. That would, the scariest part is that I feel like years ago, you know, if you said that, you know, like you could imagine almost like Sarah Palin saying something to that effect and a couple you know, are like, the entire crowd not only laughs, but cheers.
Yeah. The idea of him murdering someone. And not even just like, well, maybe I'll take it to DC. It's I'm going to find somebody in DC. It's like, I don't want you all to have to connect any dots. I'm going to connect them.
Yeah.
With bullets. No.
You know, I mean, we talked about this just a little bit ago when we talked about January 6th, but it's like, it's very difficult because, you know, once again, how are you going to investigate yourself when you were the one doing it, right? It's the call is coming from within the building. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many other Democrats have talked about how they did not know who was in on this and who was not. And clearly, as has been proven, many congresspeople and many senators were absolutely okay with what happened on January 6th. If not on the day, then afterwards they've said it is fine. And so when you have people like Lauren Boebert, when you have Marjorie Taylor Greene in, you know, coming into work every day, it's frightening. And you don't actually fight that in Congress. You fight it in those states. In those counties. I will say, maybe this is part of my silver linings, that it does kind of feel like, you know, when you like in exorcisms, when like they just sort of throw out all the hits, like, guns, trans people, America, these colors don't run. Like you just kind of like that maybe, I feel like the entire MAGA movement is like exercising all of America's demons. And as it kind of like leaves our body, it's playing all the hits. That's what this moment feels like.
Maybe. I think it's more likely that we're just screwed. But I like your version. Let's go for that. And this guy's incredibly popular. Oh, by the way, a couple months ago, he called for a Myanmar style coup in the US. And he's incredibly popular. It's not about him, he's one person, but people want to hear him joke about murdering politicians and overthrowing the US government. So that's cool. Maybe we should have a serious investigation of January 6th. I don't know that we're gonna have that, but we'll be watching. And then the testimony is actually gonna start this week. Anyway, with that said, we are gonna take our first break. When we come back, we are gonna dive into COVID and vaccination. And we've done a lot of talk about groups of people that are not getting vaccinated. But I feel like this one's gonna be the scariest. The scariest group that could not be taking it seriously. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, Francesca, ready for some COVID, ready for some vaccines, ready to find out who's failing us when we need the most.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun. Anyway, okay. Let's jump into this. How is the new wave of the pandemic proceeding? Well, let's put it in some recent historical context. So, the most recent weekday data we have cases for is July 23rd. So let's flash back. July 23rd, 2020, the 7-day average of cases was a bit shy of 66,000. We had just over 70,000 cases. That was at the time what we thought would be the darkest period. Then the winter came and blew it away, but it was pretty bad. Well, this July 23rd, the 7-day average isn't quite as high, but new cases, 82,505. We have more cases this July 23rd than last July 23rd when we had no vaccines. We barely had tests. Okay, we had tests at that point, but we didn't really know. It is actually worse. Now on the weekend, those numbers did drop down a bit, but we're just hoping that that hooks back down, but it could continue. Way as we have continued to try to let you know, this is not happening evenly all over the country. 40% of all new cases this last week have been recorded in just Florida, Texas, and Missouri. Mm-hmm. Three states, almost half of all the COVID at least being tracked. And I'm sure they're doing a great job in Florida, Texas, and Missouri of testing for COVID. Anyway, so that's the bad news initially. I'm gonna have a little bit of good news. But Francesca, we've been checking in every week and things seem to be proceeding as my gut at least predicted it might. That's our segment. It's just.
Just put us in charge. Oh my God. Ugh. In my dictatorship, we would have stamped this out so long ago. Let's just look to Jacinda Ardern. In New Zealand, that's my happy place. But really, you gotta think about if another country like New Zealand had this amount of access to vaccines, how they would have stamped out the virus by now, right? Because these are also places that take incredibly seriously things like lockdowns, take incredibly seriously things like, you know, not traveling outside of your state. You know, I've been calling for this from the beginning and no one's been listening to me. Very shocked.
Well, I'm sick of your half measures, not traveling out of the state. I've been calling for not traveling outside of your house for like 15 years, okay?
Yeah.
And you're only drawing it at the state lines. But anyway, but really fast. So let's say you were in charge. What would you do at this point? Because New Zealand obviously has a different, they have a different culture. They have a different political media environment. Like, would you arm the nation's hipsters with like needle guns that could like hunt down the MAGAs and inoculate them? Like, what would you do?
That's a very American answer and solution to all this. So maybe I am not as red, white, and blue as I thought. No, but I do think that like, there needs to be, and I think Biden is in some communities rolling out much more door-to-door mobile vaccination centers. Again, man with a van, I've said this multiple times. And I think those efforts are working, but I also think that there needs to be incentives. And it's not about a lottery. It is about empowering and giving funds to restaurants and bars and clubs and wherever people are gathering indoors to allow them to check vaccination cards and support them in that effort and support them in the effort to keep their patrons safe.
And do you support, have you heard this idea that we do another round of COVID stimulus and it goes to the vaccinated, like $2,000, but you have to be in the record as being vaccinated? Would that be like the single big, they'd lose it. They would lose it.
Lose
but would that
minds.
Be the single biggest way to get people vaccinated?
Sure.
Would it just lead to more MAGA doctors lying?
I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know how, but I feel like Kayleigh McEnany's family would still somehow get like that money. Like just collect it all. Like Jared Kushner would somehow get it. Like, I still want to know again where the PPP loans have gone. But yes, that's a good solution. Yeah, whoever said that, that's my. You can come work in my cabinet.
I don't remember, so I'll take it.
Okay.
And by the way,
you've got a job.
Thank you. We were talking about some of the states that are doing the worst. Well, at least they're taking it seriously. Oh wait, sorry, no, not seriously. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas recently said he will not impose new mask mandates. Both he and Governor DeSantis of Florida have also signed measures striking down requirements that people provide proof of vaccination. So it's spreading like crazy in a few of these states, and we're gonna see. I mean, here's something that's dark. I think the secret weapon of like Florida and Texas is that they've already failed so much that lots of people have already had COVID. Which doesn't stop you from getting it again necessarily. There's a GOP representative who just got it for the second time. But that might be the best thing that they've got because they're not doing a great job. Now, there's been more vaccination than average in some of these states over the past week because people are rightly terrified. But it's still low. It takes weeks to kick in and the Delta variant is spreading like insane. So we're gonna have to see the next couple of weeks what happens in some of these places. Okay, you want to talk about vaccination?
Sure. Well,
the campaign to convince people to get vaccinated continues. And I don't mean from like Francesca and me, they don't listen to us. But House Minority Whip Steve Scalise got his first dose of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine on Sunday, calling it safe and effective. He said that his decision to get vaccinated was driven by the spread of the Delta variant, which he noted was aggressive, as well as a recent spike in case numbers. Why it took until now and why it took the Delta variant? These are questions for philosophers, but he is telling people to get vaccinated. I saw, by the way, we don't cover these stories because there's just too many, but there was this right-wing media guy, radio guy, who got COVID really bad. And he actually came out the other end telling people to take it seriously and get vaccinated. So usually that story ends with them dying. There's every day on Twitter, you can find stories of people who spent a year tweeting that it was all a commie plot with Bill Gates or whatever, and then they unfortunately died. It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
But there are more right wingers, including the op-ed from Sarah Huckabee Sanders telling people to get vaccinated. So last week we wasted all of our time trying to see if Fox News deserved credit. Now let's waste some time, Francesca. Do elected Republicans deserve credit for encouraging vaccination?
Sure. Why not? Yay. I mean, a number of people, you know, like Ron DeSantis has changed his tune about the vaccinations. You know, a lot of people are encouraging, and I think every bit helps. Like, this is good. It will encourage people to get vaccinated, or it'll encourage people to, you know, find their favorite YouTuber who is an anti-vax weirdo and, you know, support them. I don't know, but it is. You know, you're talking earlier about fiction. Yeah, real life is absolutely stranger than fiction. You can't make this stuff up. You cannot write this. You could not imagine like a once in a lifetime or five lifetimes pandemic like coming through and then having it immediately be politicized and then having your social fabric and your intellectual fabric so tattered that nobody even believes reality anymore, especially because an entire party just told a bunch of people not to believe reality when it comes to elections and when it comes to the vote count. Numbers aren't numbers anymore, so why should we believe COVID numbers? I mean, and now they want to change their tune? Yeah, man, I don't know, keep people alive, right? Because we know it will kill people. So I say yes, but like, you have to keep at it. You can't just, I think it's good anyway. How about that Bill Gates? He's weird. You ever think about Soros? You know, like you gotta.
Or Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying it's the reason that she took so long was because Kamala Harris spread misinformation. And obviously for her, Kamala Harris, the ultimate influencer and thought leader, doesn't make any sense. And so even when they do it, it's half-assed at best. The best we can hope for is one cheek. That's what we get during this terrible pandemic. And by the way, let's check in. How overall are we doing? Well, among all ages of Americans, 49% are fully vaccinated. 56% have one dose. 65 and up, the numbers are good. At least one dose is 89%. 4 out of 5 are fully vaccinated. Obviously, there are some that can't. But we're like 9 months into this. These numbers are pathetic.
They're
way
so
higher
stagnant.
Than most parts. Yeah, they're barely moving. You know, we're up to like 700,000 again a day or something like that because people are starting to get scared, but it's not fast enough.
No.
80% of 65 and up. They're like the people most at risk. And 49% overall. Like, by the way, these numbers are like, you could add up like 50 other countries to get to our numbers because we took all the supply. And this is the best we can do. Jesus. Okay, well, let's break it down. Here's why. New Washington Post ABC News poll this weekend showed 93% of Democrats say they've either received a vaccine or plan to, while just 49% of Republicans say the same. I have no idea what the difference is between those two. I don't know if anyone will ever know. I just don't know. By the way, of those Democrats who say they plan to, it's July. Do it. What is okay, if you're in a rural area and they haven't gotten you, I apologize. Maybe I have privilege of being on the coast and in a big city. But like, yeah, come on, tick, tick, tick. Like, let's make this happen. The Delta variant is spreading like mad. Do you watch the show? It's pretty bad.
Anyway. And if we, you know, if we lose this, because we already lost this, you know, we've lost many battles with COVID in the United States. But if we lose this one, I don't know what the proper nerd analogy is, because I don't play enough video games, but I'm sure the chat can help me out. You know, it's something where it's like you re-up, like you've gotten to like a new level, you've unlocked like a magic shield, and you're gonna go fight the boss and you still lose. It's like, bro, you took all the hits. You know, you got this magic shield with the COVID variant. I mean, with the vaccine. You're going up against boss Delta and you're still gonna lose. That's sad. And then player B and C come along and they're crushing it.
Okay. That's like New Zealand or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The closest analogy I can come up with is Little Monsters. There was a bit of that near the end of Little Monsters, okay. That old 80s movie. Anyway, I'm not coming up with anything video games. By the way, I need to watch Little Monsters again. That's what you just reminded me of. But thank you for trying to speak to us in the language of video games.
Yes, you're welcome.
Anyway, someone's going to come up with a good one. Hopefully we can put it in the doc. Okay, let's go to one last little bit in here. This blew my mind. Okay. Oh, we don't have a thing besides. Sorry, that's my bad. Like all waiting, like serious. Anyway.
Yeah.
I know that you're probably sick by now of stories about X group hasn't gotten vaccinated. You know, like I don't know, people in a particular state or people who voted a certain way. Okay, but that said, this one is not okay. Here's the headline I saw. This is coming from a ProPublica report. Many elder care workers still refuse to get COVID-19 vaccine. Their whole thing is working with old people. How is it optional? Not her in particular. I think she's vaccinated, but your whole deal is, you know what I want to do with my life? Stop old people from dying needlessly. You gonna take the vaccine? Nah, that's commie stuff. I don't understand it.
You've never worked with old people. I don't know how much empathy you got left after working with them. Maybe you're like, you know what? We could speed this up a little bit. I'm obviously joking. That's terrible. And yes, they should be vaccinated. It should be a requirement. If you're working in elder care, you should be vaccinated. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, like they have to take a lot of medicines, these old people. We stick them full of all sorts of things. I would hand out the needles to the old people. And if they think one of their nurses hasn't been vaccinated, stick them. You get to stick them, whatever. You're old, you've earned it. Give them a couple sticks just to make sure. Anyway, don't do that. Don't double stick a nurse. Anyway, okay, so here's how serious it is. And it's serious both for the residents, but also let's bear in mind, it was very serious for people working in this field. In the US, COVID killed more than 133,000 residents and nearly 2,000 staff members between May 31st and this July 4th, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services report. The true toll is thought to be even higher as data gathering lagged in the early months of the crisis. Like, imagine not just hearing, okay, hey, by the way, if you get these germs, you're gonna pass them to that 95-year-old and they're gonna die. How about this? Your industry lost thousands of people. Like if YouTube hosts were getting wiped out via COVID, and I was just like, I think I'm good. That's really irresponsible right there. But that said, 7 months after the first vaccines became available to medical professionals, and bear in mind, medical professionals in this sort of field were among the first people in the country to get access to it. Only 59% of staff at the nation's nursing homes and other long-term care facilities are fully or partially vaccinated. The overall numbers for partial vaccination in the US are 59%. They're not even beating the average. 8 states report an average rate of less than half. 23 individual facilities had vaccination rates of under 1%, which means Paula got it. And the whole staff, Paula got it, and that's it. Nobody else got it. Jesus.
Good for Paula. No, but
like 59%. How could you go in every day? You could be bringing a virus to some old sweet person or old terrible person. I don't care. You can be terrible if you're old. You still shouldn't die. And I want to give you an example of one individual. Oh, by the way, there are lawsuits, by the way, to try to force them to get it. And it seems like so far the courts are generally siding with the care facilities requiring vaccination. And by the way, often when they say they're going to require a whole bunch, you're like, well, then I'll leave rather than get it. And then it turns out that's generally not what happens. But anyway, one woman who works at a place like this, she's not vaxxed. Her fiance and her children, ages 12 and 13, are also unvaccinated. But she says, I don't consider myself an anti-vaxxer, bristling that some might see her as reckless or ill-informed. Instead, she said her decision was carefully considered. It never made sense to her, she said, that the virus seemed to strike randomly, with some residents getting sick while others did not. She said she is not convinced the vaccine would change the odds. It's weird because that was sold to me as carefully considered and just being bewildered at the chaotic nature of life. Why is it that some cars crash and others do not? Thus, I will snip my brakes. I don't believe they'll change the odds at all. Yeah, the world's a chaotic place.
Can you just put up that graphic again? The graph of like what COVID cases going down in February and March. Do you guys have that?
Yeah, well, can we go back to the early the New York Times chart?
Yeah. See, what happened? God, that's so. What was that? I know she's talking about the odds, and I guess odds have to do with numbers. Is it numbers or numbers?
Well, if it's plural.
Numbers and statistics and graphs. And so this is a graph, and you can see the giant downward spike, the falling of the graph in February, March, and April. And I wonder what that is due to.
It's probably solar flares, I would imagine. It's gotta be solar flares. Yeah, you're 100% right. She says, I don't think it'll change the odds. That's literally what it does. And not only that, we can tell you exactly how it changes the odds. The odds it changes, that's what it does. Do you lock your door? Do you wear a seatbelt? Do you eat food? Like I know that this is what you're not supposed to be doing. We're like mocking them or whatever. But like, this isn't just some rando. She works with elderly people. If she thinks that the thought process we just dissected was carefully considered, what other decisions is she making for these elderly people? What is she responsible for? What have we done as a society?
Well, I mean, there is no coincidence to it is not only because they were elderly, but it's because that so many elder care facilities we know are rife with a lot of corruption and horrible, like lack of care, abuse, outright abuse, and also rampant with a lot of other viruses and bacteria. And these are not the cleanest places. And I just want to say, this goes back to infrastructure as well, right? If we pass an infrastructure bill that is robust, that does include things like elder care and home care and health care, like this will drastically improve the amount of money that we are investing in the elderly in this country and in people who are choosing to stay at home or be cared for at home and paying those workers adequately. Look, I don't think it's easy to work in elder care facilities at all. We know it's not. Yeah. We know how underfunded and underpaid. We know that these corporations that run a bunch of different facilities are super corrupt, right? They've been like lawsuit after lawsuit. They somehow still survive. And I think that it goes back to our political priorities. And yeah, Biden's got to keep on making this case. Look, it worked for him. It worked for him in the election to really get elderly people on board, because they were like, oh yeah, I don't want to die. I mean, I like Trump, but I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to engage with some of those who've gotten us in this position and who'd like to. The absolutely insane, spreading crazy misinformation, and a bit of strike back from the community coming up after this. Okay, but we're about to jump into hopefully two stories in the next 10 minutes. So we're gonna have to be quick about it. But I did wanna let you know that after the show coming up, is Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie, joined by J.R. Jackson. Is that the first time he's co-hosting? But anyway, that's coming up, and Brad Palumbo will be on for a debate. That's available at youtube.com/indisputabletyt. I don't know why I'm telling you. Everybody's already watching it. But if you haven't, give it a try. He's awesome. His team is awesome. Go watch the show. Also, another heads up that coming up this Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, will be our Tier 3 member live Q&A. So if you become a member at Tier 3 on YouTube, you can hang out, chat. We talk politics. We talk lots of stuff that's not politics. It's like mostly not politics, but it's a lot of fun. You can come hang out with us. That said, why don't we see if we can do both of these with what remains of the hour? Over on Fox News, this candidate JD Vance, he's not doing particularly well, is gonna like really try hard to seem incensed about culture war stuff. I don't really care about that, but there are a couple of interesting points raised that I wanna delve into. So first, here is his appearance on Fox and Friends.
And if you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our favorite comrade, and you've said the world's gonna end in 12 years, what do you care? First of all, you wouldn't have kids because why would you give the world to them?
She said that. And by the way, she said that.
Prince Harry and Meghan, I'm only going to have two kids because of this. It's this idea of absolute pessimism that the world's going to end. And as a result, we're the problem. Don't have kids. Having lots of kids is a reflection of optimism. It is. Societies that stop, demographics really do matter. Societies that stop having lots of kids don't believe in themselves. And the left thinks America's an evil place. So why would they have those kids? Mm-hmm. And then what future are they handing to our kids who do believe America's a special place, being led down that road by people who have no stake in the game? So good on him for making this case. When you point at people and say you have too many kids or not enough kids, that's always a dangerous game. Either way, the idea of the next generation and being optimistic and passing something.
I'll tell you this, having kids changes your outlook.
100%. And try having a debate with somebody who hasn't had kids and has that sort of AOC mindset. It's very difficult because it's hard to explain that how you change and how your outlook changes
in so many ways.
And do you want to pass AOC's America off to America?
You can yell about policy and the weather all day long, or you can sit around the dinner table and try to shape the next generation.
American Marxists want to tear down the American family.
That's right.
Okay, these are very reasonable people gathering for a conversation there. I apologize, he wasn't actually on, but they were discussing his comments where he also went on to say that like each person should get a vote for each of their kids or whatever. But again, like I said in the intro, like I'm not interested in the culture war stuff. He doesn't actually think that. He's not gonna try to do it. It wouldn't be constitutional. They don't actually want it. Nobody's being honest here. They're just trying to get the left mad about the kid vote thing, but they don't actually believe it. But the thing, Francesca, that I'm interested in, and feel free to disagree with me about any of that, is their point is that AOC, their favorite comrade, doesn't care about the future. They do. Rachel Campos Duffy or whatever. She says, when you have kids, you care about the future, which is why I don't want marijuana legalized. But AOC, none of her worldview or politics is about the future or how it'll affect kids. What'd you think about that?
You're setting it up, John, but you're letting me knock it down. And I appreciate it. The alley-oop is much appreciated. Yeah, the woman who's talking about a Green New Deal, climate sustainability, good paying union jobs, withstanding the coming and present clear danger of climate chaos, doesn't care about the future. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's basically like saying like Greta Thunberg doesn't care about the future. You know, Greta Thunberg at 17 should really have a child. Then she would get why it's important to protect children. Oh, she is a child? Well, anyway, it's never too early to start. Like, in what world? Where do you live? Like, and also, all your dumb children are gonna be Marxists very soon. You just wait and see. Climate change, it will make a socialist out of you yet, okay? And the last thing I'll say is, when I hear the right wing parrot this stuff, which is just laden with endless amounts of sexism, you know, they're a hop, skip, and a jump away from being sort of like, the natural state of womanhood is to be a mom. I want to just scrawl in menstrual blood, like, we'll never procreate. All over Fox News headquarters, man. Outside of that, like, seriously, I will free bleed all over that studio, you know? On it, try me. We will be there. We will, like, it just, you understand how condescending and upsetting as a feminist that makes me?
I'm getting it. Yeah, no, it's terrible. And that is definitely the direction they're going in. And that's, they really, okay, so one thing is gonna get them to launch a war on you. It's either the free bleeding around their studio, or when we launch your move to amend the Constitution so everybody gets a vote for each of their cats. I think that's what it should be. You get a vote for one cat. No, and they, like, yeah, right? That's the direction they want you to go in. That is what women should be focusing on. That's what they actually believe. And she is there working to tell women that they shouldn't work effectively. But again, it's all nonsense that they don't actually believe. And if you want to go and you want to try to convince the next generation that caring about the future is caring about what you smoke or whatever, not about the fact, like, if you're more focused on what we're burning rather than the fact that everything is burning, feel free to take that message to the next generation, which obviously cares a lot more about climate change. We only have a few minutes to jump into this. So Tucker Carlson had a tense interaction over the past couple of days. Here's what happened.
I don't care, man. Okay, just do it. You are the worst human being known to man. I want you to reach out to this state, to the United States, to everything else in this world. I don't care that you're not here. What you've done to people's families, what you have done to everybody else in this world. Son, don't come. Son, one.
Okay, so that is Dan Bailey, who went up to Tucker Carlson to tell him he's the worst human being in America. Now, I'm gonna let you go first. Francesca, what do you think about that interaction and the way that Tucker appeared to handle it in real time?
Hilarious. I mean, I think it's funny that he would dare say that his daughter is there. Yeah, all the children that are in the room when you spew your vitriol and your anti-science BS, like, and your replacement theory and your anti-trans remark hatred. Like, yeah, there's a lot of kids in the room listening to you talk. You are infecting and influencing them every single day. So Dan, I love you. You're amazing. I love this plaid on plaid clash. I wanna see aesthetic. It happen. Just the aesthetic, I want to see that happen more often. I said this on the Habituation Pod and I will say it here. I do think a strategy that I would have used, which would have been going up to him being like, oh my God, I'm such a fan. Can we take a selfie? And then get close and be like, wait a minute, you're vaccinated, right? And he would have been like,
it'd be like the Matt Gaetz thing, kind of. Yeah, I think you're right. Look, we sometimes disagree on stuff like this in that I generally prefer less of this stuff to happen. Not because I believe that our politics has to be super polite. I just don't think that people should talk to each other in public. I think we should stop that in all cases. But that said, his thing where it's like, daughter's with me. I'd be like, dude, do you not think that your daughter eventually is gonna figure out who you are and what people think of you? That's gonna happen, buddy. She's gonna know who you are. And maybe you can like shelter her enough that she'll be conservative or whatever, but it's probably not gonna work out that way. She's probably gonna figure out what you spent the pandemic doing. All that video's around. And I get that you just wanna hold off on that until someday when you look in her eyes and you see reflected in those eyes a knowledge of who you actually are. That is gonna be a dark moment for you, but understand that it is much deserved. But anyway, yeah. What the craziest thing about this entire story is that this took place in Dan Bailey's fly shop. That guy's Dan Bailey, and the fly shop said he's not affiliated with us. He just happens to have the same name. How is that possible? That's crazier than anything having to do with Tucker Carlson.
I think he's now the owner of the fly shop.
I think you take over.
I think that's what happens. If you own Tucker Carlson in any public space or private space, that space automatically is gifted to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for Tucker Carlson. And for the first hour, thank you to the leader in your audience. If you're on Twitch or on YouTube, we got a lot more news coming for you. Short break. We'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.